Many of you know he had to come put on flesh. And he loved us enough to put on flesh. And it says he came and he dwelt among us for 33 and a half years. I want to tell you the first reason that Jesus came. Number one was to reveal the Father's heart to us. Jesus came to reveal the Father's heart to us. See, Easter weekend was kind of like the climax of Jesus's coming to earth. But it wasn't the only reason that he came to earth. One of the primary reasons that Jesus came to earth was because he wanted to do something very significant for you and I. He said, no one has ever seen the Father until now. No one has ever seen God until now. He was having a conversation with his disciples, and Philip said this to him in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 8. Philip said to him, he said, Lord, show us the Father. We want to see the Father. And Jesus responded to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? For he who has seen me has seen the Father. One of the main purposes that Jesus came to earth was to show you and I what God was like. If you want to know what God is like, if you really want to know what God is like, look at the life of Jesus. The life of Jesus was an exact representation of our Father who is in heaven. And the amazing thing about this was, of all of the names of God, and if you read through the Old Testament, all of the names that are attributed to describe the nature of God, all through the Old Testament, he's given so many names. But when Jesus said, I came to reveal to you, he didn't say, I came to reveal to you Elohim or Jehovah Jireh. He said, I came to reveal to you Father. And that word in the Hebrew means daddy. He said, I came to show you Daddy God. And this was so foreign to them of that day. It was so foreign to them. And he said, I want to show you what God is like. And the reason that he needed to reveal God as Father to humanity on earth, it was because so many people had a wrong perspective of God. Do you know that your relationship with God will never go any further than your understanding of who he really is? We have to know who he is, and what Jesus did while he was on the earth for 33 and a half years was his life was a portrait of who God the Father is. If you're confused about what God wants to do in a situation or you don't understand what God might be wanting to do, all you got to do is read the Gospels and look at how Jesus acted. Look at how Jesus talked. Look at how Jesus walked. Look at the decisions that Jesus made. Jesus said, I and the Father am one. He said, I don't do anything unless I first see the Father do it. He said, I don't say anything unless I first hear the Father say it. If you want to know what God is like, he's a heavenly Father. He's a good heavenly Father. And Jesus showed us what he was like. What God is not. See, the enemy wants to keep us from our heavenly Father. And from a very young age, even before we're ever born, there we have an enemy. Do you know you have an enemy? I'm not talking about the person next to you. I'm talking about Satan and all of hell. And he doesn't want us to know who God really is. He doesn't want us to have a relationship with God. So he's sown all kinds of webs of lies and deceptions to get us to believe things about God that are not true. And one of the major reasons why Jesus came to the earth was to paint an accurate picture to us of who God really is. People ask me all the time, I don't know where to read in the Bible. If you want to read somewhere good, go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go read the life of Jesus over and over and over again. And you will come to know who God is and how he acts and what his will is for your life and what he wants to do and how he'll intervene in your situation. But let me tell you what God is not. God is not some distant cosmic force. He's not some disattached divine being out in space somewhere. Some cruel taskmaster. And all he's doing is keeping a log up there of your good works and your bad works. And every time we step out of line, then he bops us on the head. That is not who God is. Jesus said who he is a good Father. And from the beginning of time, he wanted a relationship with humanity. You can see in the Garden of Eden that with Adam and Eve, what God did was he walked with them on a daily basis. He had a relationship with them. He longed to be with them. He could have been doing anything he wanted in all the universe, couldn't he? But every day he came and walked with Adam and Eve. He is not just a father. He is a good father. Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, if you being earthly fathers being evil, know how to do good things for your kids, how much more? Everybody say, how much more? Does your heavenly Father want to do good things for His children? God is good. Never question if the origin of anything in your life is ever of evil is ever from God. God is good. The Bible says that He is light, and in Him is zero darkness. No darkness. God is a loving Father who will only do us good. Psalms 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Just think about it as you read the Bible, or just think about on what you know. Did Jesus ever create a storm and send it on somebody? He always calmed storms. Did Jesus ever bring a sickness or a disease and put it on anybody? No, it says that He always took sickness and disease away from them. Did Jesus ever show up and condemn somebody? No, when everybody else wanted to condemn us, what did Jesus do? He said, "I don't condemn you. I forgive you. Go and sin no more." One of the main reasons Jesus came to the earth was to give us an exact picture of who God is. A loving Heavenly Father, full of grace, full of mercy, full of forgiveness. And Acts 10:38 is kind of a synopsis of Jesus's life. It says that God the Father anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And what did He do? He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for the Heavenly Father, God, was with Him. Jesus came to reveal to us the heart of the Father. And it was that loving, compassionate, grace-filled heart that led the Father to the next reason that Jesus had to come to the earth. Point number two is this. Jesus came to fulfill the Father's plan for us. How many of you know that before we were ever created, God had a plan for us? He wanted to be in relationship with us. He made humanity. There are some questions that get kind of deep there, but you wonder why, if He knew that we were going to come away from Him, why He would ever created us to begin with. But the bottom line is, He wanted someone. He wanted a creation that He could give a free will who would choose to love Him back. But Adam and Eve from the very beginning were deceived by the serpent and they fell into sin. And because of that, humanity and the earth, the perfect earth. If you want to know what God wants for your life, look at Genesis and look at Revelation. There's perfection in the beginning and there will be perfection again one day. That's what He desires for our life. All of the other stuff that goes on the earth today, the earthquakes and the famines and the floods, which the insurance companies and businesses call the acts of God. Those are not the acts of God. Those are the acts of living in a fallen, cursed world and with an enemy that is opposed to us. God wanted always to be in a perfect place and perfect fellowship with us. He loves us and He hates sin because, not because we do bad things, but because He hates the separation it brings between us and Him. When we falter and when we fail and when we're in sin and when we are at our worst, He doesn't hate us. He hates what's between us. And He wants to remove it from us. When my little girl, when she was a little bitty girl and she was walking in the kitchen and her mom was cooking on the stove and she saw that bright red light on the top of the stove that looked so attractive. How many of you know the sin in this world can look so attractive for a season? And she reached out to touch it. And when she did, being the loving earthly father that I am, I spat at her hand, even though I didn't want to. But I knew the pain that she would feel if she touched that stove would be far worse than the pain that she felt if I lovingly corrected her. God's not mad at you. God's not disappointed in you. He's not here to condemn you today. You say, you don't know what I've been up to. You don't know where I come from. You don't know what my family's like. God knows all of that. And He had a plan to redeem your life back. He had a plan to bring you back into relationship with Him. Because the bottom line is this, that once sin entered into the world, the only way that sin could be paid for was through a perfect sacrifice. And all of the religions of the world that say that we got to do more good than we do bad, and at the end of the day, if we did more good than we did bad, if we put our coat down so somebody could walk over a puddle, and if we helped open the door for somebody, and all those things are good and fine, but none of those things get us into heaven. The only thing that can pay for one sin in my life, and the Bible says this, that if we commit one sin, we've broken the whole law. All of us are sinners. We're born into this world sinful. But we weren't born into this world without hope. We were born into this world with a plan already in place, a plan that God had already. The Bible says that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Before we ever were on this planet, God already had a plan to send a sinless son to walk on the face of this earth, to reveal his love to humanity. The most important thing in all the world, it's not the degrees we earn. It's not the titles that we have on our jobs. It's not the amount of money we have in our bank account. This life begins and this life ends. And at the end of this life, the most important thing is, did we come back into fellowship with our Father? Fellowship with our Father. Jesus, the wages of sin is death. For all of sin and come short of the glory of God. Boy, that seems like a downer. That's what I heard a whole lot when I was young. I thought that religion and Christianity was all about the don'ts. You can't do this. You can't do that. And I was always doing that. And I was always messed up. And I was always condemned. And I always felt far from God. But what I didn't hear enough was, there is grace. And there is mercy. And there is a loving Heavenly Father. And He knows where I'm at, and He knows what I'm doing, and He knows how low I've sank, and He knows that I came from a good family, and I still messed that up, but His grace is sufficient for me. He's not mad at me. He's not mad at you. He's for you. He's not against you. It's just up to us. So Jesus was the only one that could come. He went to die on a cross. He paid a debt that we could not pay. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is not any forgiveness of sin. We could never be made right with God through the things that we do. We could never be made right with God outside of the perfect, sinless, spotless sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. The shedding of His perfect blood. That's why Jesus had to come. And He had to walk this walk that you and I walk. He was a man. Do you know He was a man? He took on Himself humanity, and He had to live for 33 and a half years. As a human, He was baptized in water. He was baptized in the Spirit. He walked in the Spirit. Modeled for us the Christian walk. Modeled for us what the Father was like. Modeled for us what relationship with the Heavenly Father should look like. And He laid down His life willingly. I love the picture of Jesus when they're getting Him close to the cross. He could hardly move, but He crawled to the cross. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. And it was on that cross He redeemed you and me. It was on that cross He paid a price that we could never pay. It was on that cross that He shed His blood for you and you and you and you and you and every man or woman that's ever been born on this planet. And He came to earth and He went into the slave market of sin. And He redeemed us. He paid a ransom. Do you know He paid a ransom for you? The Bible says we're bought with a price. The highest price that could ever be paid. Don't ever listen to the enemy of your soul that tells you that you're worthless, that you have no value. The greatest price that could ever be paid was paid for you. Everybody say it was paid for me. Point to yourself, say it was paid for me. The greatest price that could ever be paid was paid for me. Jesus died for us. Jesus came to reveal or to fulfill the Father's plan. In Titus 2:14, it says, He gave His life to free us from every kind of sin. No matter what we're in, He paid a price to free us from every kind of sin. To cleanse us and to make us His very own people. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says this, But as many as received Him, that being Jesus, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. For all those that believe on His name. Hallelujah. There's an old hymn that goes like this. I was sinking. Deep in sin. Far. Everybody say far. How many know this song? I was raised Baptist. From the peaceful shore. That may be where you're at this morning. Your life may be engulfed with sin. You may be far from peace. But can I tell you, you're not far from Jesus. It's all about Jesus. This life. It's all about His love for you and for me. Very deeply stained with sin, I was sinking to rise no more. But, everybody say but. The master of the sea. He heard my despairing cry. And from the waters lifted me. Now, safe am I. Love lifted me. Everybody say His name. Who is love? Jesus. Love lifted me when nothing else could help me. Not the pill, not the bottle, not another relationship, not a promotion, not another house, not the newest cell phone. When nothing else could help my sin-stained soul. That when I laid in bed at night, I knew who I was. When I got up in the morning and I looked in the mirror, I didn't like who I was. Sinking in my sin. But there came a hand in my storm. And love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help me, love lifted me. And I don't know where you're at in your life this morning, but I guarantee you when we gather in a place like this, there's more than me that's in this room that needs the help of Jesus. The most important thing you'll do in your whole life is to go from darkness to light. Listen, from being lost, popular, famous, rich, wealthy, lost. From being lost, humble, poor, unknown, found. From being blind to Jesus giving you your spiritual sight. From taking the old and making it new. There are no programs that can do that. There are no steps to follow that can transform a life. The only step that can transform a life is if we say, I need help. I need Jesus. And you know what? You have a loving Heavenly Father. One of my great joys is working for this church. One of the saddest things about working for this church for me is when I got my tennis shoes on and I'm walking around town and I bump into somebody. And they hang their head and they say, I'm sorry, I haven't been in church. And just had a lot of things going on in my life, a lot of struggles, things happening. And when I get it together, you'll see me there. And my heart breaks because I want to say, and sometimes I do, well, I'll never see you then. Because you can never get it together. Only Jesus can put it together. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. There's no program, there's no pill, there's no relationship. There's nothing in this world that can put the broken pieces of your life back together again. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus. It's not a story. It's not a fairy tale. It's the most real of all the realities in this universe. And He loves you. and you're not far from Him. And the Father's not angry at you, and He's not mad at you. He loves you, and He just desires for you to open the door. The Bible says that Jesus stands at the door and knocks. He's standing at the door, and you say, you don't know what it looks like behind this door. You don't know the mess that I've made. You don't know the relationships I've been through, and you don't know the depth of my sin. And Jesus said, I'm the answer to all of it. Just open the door. Open the door. Open the door. What I want to do right now is this. You may not know for sure today that you've ever stepped across that line. The Bible says that to as many as receive Him. All you got to do is receive His love. It's the highest price that was ever paid, but it's the freest gift that you could ever receive. I mean, that you can't get a better deal than that. That's called grace. Everybody say grace. The grace of God is available for every person. It doesn't matter who you are. This morning, if you have not said, I surrender my life to you, God, I confess my sins. It says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and He is just to forgive us of our sins. He doesn't care what they are. He does care because of the brokenness it's caused in our life. And He does care because of the separation it's brought. But He can wipe it away. He'll cast it in the sea of forgetfulness. Move it as far as the east is from the west out of your life. And He doesn't see you as your sin. He sees you as His child that He longs to be in relationship with. So all you got to do this morning is this. The Bible says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that means I believe He's Lord. I believe He died on the cross for me. I believe He's the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through Jesus. If you don't know that you've done that, if you will confess Him as your Lord this morning, the Bible says if we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth, we'll be saved. So right here quickly, everybody close your eyes real quick. What we're going to do is this. It's that we're getting ready to close. 4 points were never meant to be covered anyway. We want what God wants. This morning, if you can say, I don't know for sure that my life completely and totally belongs to God, that I stepped across that all-important line of saying, I'm going to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I'm going to take myself out of the driver's seat of my life. I'm going to surrender my life. I'm going to bow my knee. I'm going to give my life to God, to my Father, to run into His arms and receive His forgiveness and be made a son or daughter of God who is accepted by my Father, who's made righteous by the blood of Jesus, and transform my future. If you need to do that quickly, stand to your feet all across this room. The Bible says if we'll confess Him before the Father, if we'll confess Him before men, He'll confess us before the Father. Just quickly stand to your feet. Don't worry. Nobody else matters. Nobody else cares. All across this room, people are standing. If you need to make sure and that you know that you've given your life to God, He loves you so much. Now this morning, if you know that you belong to God, but you got things in your life that need to be made right with God, you got sin you need to bring to Him, that you need to give to Him because you know it causes separation from you and God, and you just want to be clean this morning because He'll forgive, if that's you, just stand up and join these right here. We're going to pray and believe God this morning. We're going to let Easter be Easter in our life. The reason why Jesus came, we're going to let it happen in our lives today in Jesus' name. Now just raise your hands and I just want you to pray this simple prayer after me. Just say, Father, thank You for loving me, for paying such a high price for me, giving Your Son for me, that He laid down His life for me. I want nothing more to lay down my life for You. I give You my life. Forgive me of my sin. Take my past. Give me Your future. I confess You as my Lord. I receive You. Thank You for receiving me. Let's rejoice this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be seated for 1 second. We're getting ready to close. I'm just going to tell you real quickly. The third point was this. Jesus came to reveal the Father's will for your life. Remember when Jesus went to His friend's house and Mary and Martha, and their brother was dead and he was in the tomb. And He brought resurrection life to Lazarus. Remember that? He said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came alive. And many of you this morning just came alive. But when Lazarus came out of the tomb, he was still bound with grave clothes. How many of you know that you can be alive and still be bound with some things in life? Addictions, curses, struggles in life. If you didn't need to make things right with God today, salvation-wise, there may be something in your life that's got you bound. The Bible says that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And then the next thing he said was, loose him and let him go. God wants to loose some of us and allow us to be let go this morning. So just close your eyes real quick. No, this is going to be the close right here. If you have something in your life that you need to give to God, something that's been holding you back from being all that He created you to be, just quickly lift up a hand, your hands to the Lord right there. Just say, Father, set me free. Set me free. I trust You. In Jesus' name.